Damn the Torpedoes, full speed ahead. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of news, notes, and updates on all things Major League Baseball. I am Troy Brock, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball, and we've got a pretty packed show today after opening weekend in Major League Baseball. I want to talk about what the New York Yankees are doing, what they did over the weekend with their power output and the torpedo bats. I want to talk about Roky Sasaki, and you know, so far, we've been right here on this show. I want to talk about Jacob DeGrom coming back yesterday. I want to talk about what Rafael Devers has failed to do so far this season. And I want to talk about what the Marlins have surprised the world maybe in doing. And, of course, we also have to introduce the new co-host of the First Pitch podcast, right? It's Monday. There's a new co-host. And But we're going to make you wait just a couple more minutes for that. Because if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like, subscribe. We are trying to get to 500 subscribers before we reach episode 200. Today's episode 167. So we're getting there quickly. Help us get to 500 subscribers. And if you're listening on audio, leave a five-star rating. Share it with your friends. Tell your friends. Go to firstpitchpodcast.com for all things Major League Baseball. And, you know, first we will go ahead now and introduce our new co-host. He is, unfortunately, a Cincinnati Reds fan, but, you know, I can't hold that against him too much. It is none other than Drew Crabtree. Drew, welcome to the show, bud.
Glad to be here, man. I don't appreciate the little unfortunate thing, but, you know, let me say that it's unfortunate that I'm a Reds fan. Like, that's my cross to bear. You're a Phillies fan. You at least have seen a little bit of success, my friend. But no, it's good to be here. It's definitely this is a different avenue when it comes to sports media for me. I've been mostly doing the writing and the editing, doing a podcast. I've only ever appeared on three college football related podcasts. So this it's a different avenue, but I'm definitely more than happy to step in and give at least half what Lindsay was able to do.
Yes, we are going to miss Lindsay, as I said it on Friday. But yeah, we're glad to have you, Drew. A little backstory here. Drew is actually the reason that I am in this field, period. I was just writing for fun on Medium after being a stay-at-home dad for a couple of months and getting bored. And I started writing about baseball on Medium, of all places. And Drew found me on there and recruited me to Last Word on Sports. And so I started out there working with Drew, and we've kind of become friends since then. And he's a Reds fan, and I deal with it, unfortunately. But you know, it's I'm glad to have Drew on the show. Glad to be working with Drew Steele a couple years after we have met. But we are going to dive into this now. And you know, the Yankees they've been hitting a few home runs, Drew. They've hit a few home runs over the first few days of the season.
Yeah, those bonky looking torpedo bats that look like they're from, you know, a child's toy section, that have been, you know, specifically engineered to just hit bombs. Those things are ridiculous. Obviously, the Yankees are, you know, the Bronx Bombers. They're going to hit home runs, and you know, seeing it going up against the Brewers isn't exactly the worst thing in the world. But 15 home runs in the first series is obnoxious. Obviously, Aaron Judge hitting four is, you know, it is what it is. That's kind of just what Aaron Judge does. And it's going to be interesting when September rolls around and ESPN keeps cutting to him to see if he's going to hit his, you know, 70th home run. But I'm interested to see what's going to happen with these torpedo bats, because baseball likes to see things change and then get rid of them. Like how they got rid of the shift and then and so on and so forth. Like, personally, I was against banning the shift because it's one of those, like, they figured out how to stop something, figure out how to beat how they're beating you, and then they're like, we got to get rid of the shift and blah 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 blah. But I'm wondering how this torpedo thing is going to happen, because I saw that a couple of other players in other clubs have already started using them. And I wouldn't mind if the Reds would start using them, because right now Matt McClain and is leading the way with two home runs. Meanwhile, Aaron Judge has four, and that's as many as the Reds have this entire weekend.
Yeah, it is crazy for sure. And I kind of agree with you, you know, that baseball does like to change things. At the same time, however, you know, baseball has been wanting to see offense improve. And, you know, this has been a way that maybe across the board offense is going to improve. I do think, like you said, I do think they're goofy looking. They look like bowling pins to me. And, you know, the Brewers pitcher Trevor Megill, he said he's never seen anything like it, and it's the Yankees, so they'll let it slide. And he does have a point. It is the Yankees. Major League Baseball likes to see the Yankees do well because it brings more eyes to the sport. It's the New York Yankees. They're one of the biggest names in the sport as far as the franchise goes. But at the same time, it's I don't know if it's Bush League, but you've got guys like, I don't want to say Bush League. I think that's a little much. But you do have guys like Anthony Volpe, who has multiple home runs already. And like you said, Matt McClain leads the Reds with two. And Anthony Volpe also, through Saturday at least, had two of his own. And Austin Wells had two of his own through Saturday. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on moving forward. And, you know, with the torpedo bats, maybe the New York Yankees aren't as diminished as I originally thought they were. Do you think that now with these torpedo bats, they might have a chance to win the division?
If this becomes more of the norm and people start catching on, I think it'll even itself out. I was always going to lean with going with the Yankees to win the AL East just in general, just because you can't really count out the Yankees. They're like the Pittsburgh Steelers in the NFL. They're going to end up with a winning record. And then act like the world is burning if they win fewer than 100 games. But this, I mean, obviously it's only three games, and, you know, that caveat we're going to hit for the next month is a tiny little sample size. But they beat down the Brewers. You know, only two players in their starting lineup don't have a home run right now. So if, you know, Rob Manfred hates baseball, if he legislates this out, it might even out. If the Yankees are the only ones using this torpedo, which isn't going to happen, they would end up running away with it. But I think that if this new bat makes its way around Major League Baseball, then I think it'll even itself out eventually. But yeah, that first weekend is always a good start. But yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you on that one. And then, you know, another guy that we have to talk about who's had some trouble over a small sample size is Los Angeles Dodgers prospect Roky Sasaki. You know, he had trouble in that first start in the Tokyo series against the Chicago Cubs, and he made his second major league start on Saturday against the Detroit Tigers. So a team that's not as good offensively as the Chicago Cubs are, and he had a worse start than he did against the Chicago Cubs. He only went an inning and two-thirds, three hits, four walks, two strikeouts, two runs, both of them earned. And he threw 61 pitches through that inning and two-thirds. And that did include one wild pitch. And, you know, we talked about it all offseason that Roky Sasaki is probably very overhyped coming into Major League Baseball because he hasn't pitched at this level of competition to this point in his career. And while he was fantastic in Japan in the NPB, it's a completely different level of competition. This is where the best play is in Major League Baseball, and it's a different ball. They have a different ball in Major League Baseball than they have in Japan. In Japan, it's a lot more tacky. They're able to get grip it and have more control over their pitches, and we've kind of see that play into Roky Sasaki's tenure so far in Major League Baseball. And again, small sample size, but four walks on Saturday to a lineup that really is not that good offensively. Is this something that we're going to see more of moving forward from Roky Sasaki, or is this a small sample size thing, or what do you think about this one, Drew?
I think the small sample size is definitely a thing. I liked, you know, Roky Sasaki, but I like any possibility of any kind of prospect thinking about coming to the Reds just for the fun of it. But yeah, no, nine walks over four and two-thirds innings, and like he's only got a 49% strike rate right now, and it's I think that obviously he's got stuff. he can throw the ball. Like he's a good pitcher. I think there's a lot of mental going on right now. I know that there was a concern when he came over to the States from Japan, from some in his circle, that they wanted him to go to maybe a smaller market because they weren't entirely sure if he was like mature enough or able to stick around in the larger markets. And obviously when they pull him out yesterday and the camera's zooming in on him and you can obviously see that he's having a hard time. I mean, I hate that for him because he's still a human being and he's a kid and he's trying to figure these things out. But I think that, stint in AAA to just get him right might help out. Because, we saw how hyped up Jackson Holliday was for the Orioles and he came up and still, the Reds have seen their fair share of highly touted prospects come up and stink. But the nine walks in the 4 2/3 is what's concerning to me. Because like he's only given up 4 hits, which doesn't worry me nearly as much. Like you can teach a guy to miss bats, but you can't teach a guy. You'll have a harder time, I should say, because there have been guys with walk issues to figure it out. But those control issues are very concerning, especially considering, 90% of baseball is half mental.
Yeah, 100% agree. And yeah, love or hate the Dodgers, love or hate Roki Sasaki, he's still a human. And, we can't – I saw a lot of people on Twitter making fun of him for crying in the dugout after he came out. And we don't need to be doing that. That's not great. He's still a human, and he's still a kid. I mean, compared to us, he's still a kid. He's 23 years old. And this is – it's a whole new country for him. And, yes, he's surrounded by a few of his countrymen, but he's still virtually alone right now in this country. And it's – you got to feel for the kid. And he does – like you said, he does have – the ability is there. He just hasn't tapped into that potential yet. I agree 100%. I think that a stint in AAA would do him some good to kind of go down a level, face some weaker competition, get his mind right, and get him back to his confidence levels that he showed in NPB. But I just right now it's tough. It's going to be tough for the Dodgers because of the injury history that their rotation has shown throughout all of their rotation's career. And it's that they need everybody possible to step up and be the best that they can be. And just to this point, again, small sample size, Roki Sasaki just hasn't been able to do that yet. But, we're going to move from Roki Sasaki, a pitcher who hasn't been able to do that yet, to one who has been able to do that for most of his career outside of injury, and that is Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom made his season debut for the Texas Rangers yesterday. The Rangers won that game 3-2 over the Red Sox. DeGrom did not get a decision, but he still pitched very well. He went 5 innings, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, and did not allow a run. And we saw something different from DeGrom in his outing. He leaned more on the slider than he did on his fastball. And that's something we've never seen from DeGrom. Going back throughout his career, the fastball has been his bread and butter, throwing it as much as 50% or more of the time throughout his career. But in yesterday's outing, he threw the slider for 29 of his 73 pitches, while he threw the fastball 26 or 27, I think. The newsletter, today's issue of the newsletter has that. Find that newsletter. I'll put the link in the description. But he looked good in his first start this year. And is this a sign of things to come? Do you think that Jacob DeGrom can stay healthy for a full season for the first time since before 2020?
Right. I mean, Father Time is always undefeated. Not everybody is going to be able to pitch for as long as some guys do. But the fact that he's able to come back out at 37 now, where's the time gone? I remember when he made his debut for the Mets. But I think this year is probably going to be a better one for DeGrom, especially since if he's not going to rely on that fastball nearly as much. Since that's how he's made his money all this year, because from the last two seasons he's only made 9 starts, And he's got a combined 1.1, B-WAR right now, or those last two seasons with the Rangers, and that's obviously not what they're looking for when it comes to what they're investing. I think that I think he'll have a good season. I don't think that he's going to be the Jacob DeGrom that we saw when he was an all-star with the Mets, because that's just how the game goes. Guys age, guys lose a little bit on that fastball, but if he's able to find more with that that off-speed stuff, I'm pretty confident he's gonna be all right. And I don't think that he probably won't have to pitch against the Reds this weekend, this week. So that works for me.
Well, for sure. And as far as that fastball goes, it was 26 pitches that he threw the fastball, and the velocity was also something we haven't seen. And of course, it could be early season things. A lot of pitchers don't have their full velocity early in the year, but it averaged 96.7 miles per hour. Whereas even last year, it was at 97.3. In 2023, it was 98.7, 98.9 in 22, and 99.2 in 21. So that is going to be something to watch if he doesn't have that full velocity, which again might help out, might help his injury issues. It might keep him on the field more if he's not throwing 100 miles an hour, 50 times a game or more. And it's definitely something to watch. And the game's better, as we've said multiple times, the game is better when the best are on the field. And Jacob DeGrom is one of the best at pitching, probably ever. If he wouldn't have been injured as often as he would, then he'd be up there on some of the all-time greatest lists, because he would definitely have those stats, and he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now it's kind of questionable, but another guy in that same game who still has a chance to make the Hall of Fame, unless he continues the streak he's been on lately, is Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers, we've talked about him over the offseason on this podcast. He said he was not moving off of third base to start spring training whenever they brought in Alex Bregman. And then later in the offseason, later in spring training, he walked it back and said, you know what, maybe I'll DH. And so he's been DHing to start the year in every game, and hasn't worked out too well for him this year so far. Through 16 at bats, he has struck out 12 times in four games. That is horrendous, to say the least. It's a pace of 486 strikeouts, I believe, over a 162 game season, which would more than double the current single season record for most strikeouts by a batter. And if he even continued that probably over 40 or 50 games, he'd probably be released or sent down or something. There's no chance he's going to make that record. But it's not been great for Rafael Devers, and honestly, this has been something that dates back to the last four games of last season. Even though he has struck out 12 times through 16 at-bats this season, he struck out 23 times through his last 31 at-bats, dating back to the last four games of last season. So is this the Rafael Devers that the Boston Red Sox now have to live with, striking out as often as he has lately?
Man, I hope not, because that's me-level incompetent at the plate. Like, I was god-awful in high school. I think that the Sox are going to – they'll probably give him through this next series to see if he's just a slow starter, because that's obviously not the Rafael Devers that we've come to know over the course of his career. Yeah, he's got the Orioles up next, which – all right. But no, that's I think it could just be just not seeing the ball well. Maybe he's one of those guys that can't just be a DH, but 12 strikeouts in 16 at bats is, oh god. That is just atrocious. I don't like that's probably one of, if not the worst start from a batter that we've seen in a long time. Hopefully for his sake, he gets back to his, over 3 B-WAR play that he had the last four seasons. But, I think it's just a little bit, just like with the rookie Sasaki thing, it's all mental. Strikeouts, stuff like that can pile up. And as much as they say you got to have a short memory, we're still human. Like, you see strikeout after strikeout after strikeout, you just resign yourself to the fact that, well, you're going to swing and miss again. So hopefully, you know, this series against the Orioles, he's able to right the ship a little bit. But I'm not super concerned yet. But I think that he's going to need a little bit of, come to Jesus for, whether it's being sat down for a second, really hitting cages when they get back home. Rafael Devers, that's just as bad as a start as you can even think of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He has not gotten a hit yet out of those other four at-bats that he has not struck out in. He has not gotten a hit, but he does have a walk or a couple of walks on the year. So he has gotten on base. It just hasn't been with a base hit. But yeah, it's a rough start for Rafael Devers. It's not something you would expect to see from him. He's one of the better hitters in the league. And as you said, I do believe it's one of the worst starts we've seen from a batter in quite some time. But there's a team that has had a pretty rough start to the year, and on the opposite side, the team they played have had a pretty good start to the year, and that's the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Miami Marlins. The Miami Marlins have a record above 500 right now. Again, this is probably going to be one of the few times this year that we talk about either the Miami Marlins or the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Miami Marlins do have a record above 500, and all three of their wins in that four-game series with the Pirates, they won via a walk-off. And per the Elias Sports Bureau, the Pirates are the first team to be walked off for their first three losses in a season since the 1924 Pirates. So it's not good for the Pirates. Are the Marlins better than we thought, and the Pirates worse than we thought?
I've always found that, like, walk-offs and stuff like that aren't super indicative of a team's overall ability to play, because this could have been a season-opening pillow fight between two of the worst teams in baseball. I think the Pirates will be a little bit better in general, just because I think their starting pitching, especially with Paul Skeens, will be all right, but they got to figure something out when it comes to that. The end of the game bullpen, those three walk-offs, that ain't going to do it. Even in a division as soft as the NL Central, I think the Marlins, this might be about as optimistic as they're going to be this year. Beating up on the Pirates in that series. I'm not expecting the Marlins to make too much noise in the NL East this year, or most years, just in general. but no, I think this could just be a fun little, season opening pillow fight between two teams that just aren't actually trying to win.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It's crazy that all three of the Marlins' wins have come on walk-offs, but I agree it's not really indicative of their skill. And I also agree that the Pirates, in the long run, over 162, will probably be better than the Marlins because of mostly Paul Skeens. And I think the Pirates' offense is better than the Marlins. Not by much, but still better than the Marlins. Does this give you more hope for your Reds when they have to play the Pirates 13 games this season?
Usually, I think last year we had the Reds had a winning record against the Pirates. Just the NL Central in the first weekend of the season has been weird. Obviously, the Reds lost 2 of 3 thanks to two bullpen implosions. Well, I think Nick Martinez gave up a few runs, and then there was one unearned run later. But obviously, the opening day lost the Cubs. Lost. They got two game sweeps right out of Japan. Then the Pirates. Right now we got the St. Louis Cardinals at 3-0 at the top of the division, which I do not anticipate that holding much longer. If the Reds are going to go 1-2 in an opening series, I think everything aligned perfectly for them to just dig themselves out of, because they've got the Rangers up next, and then they've got a four-game set with the Brewers this upcoming weekend. So I think that it's three games in. I'm not worried too much. But the NL Central is incredibly winnable, and it's gonna be a dogfight. It's gonna be really annoying.
Yeah, it's the NL Central is certainly winnable, and you did mention the Reds have the Rangers coming up next. That game starts tonight, and of course, we're now gonna move on to the slate for today, and it's Monday, Drew, and there are day games on a Monday. I know it's right after opening weekend. A lot of these teams are having their home opener. The Phillies are having their home opener. But you don't usually see day games on a Monday, but you got to cherish it while you can. Out of the games today, Drew, outside of the Reds, which one are you looking forward to the most?
Outside of the Reds, yeah. You know, I'm thinking that I'm interested to see what's going to happen with the out west, with the Braves and the Dodgers, because the Braves, they're 0-4 right now. Yep. And, I don't think that that's going to hold. I mean, I guess that there's a good possibility that I could start 0-5, 0-6, 0-7, just because of the Dodgers being 5-0 right now. At the same time, they could sweep the Dodgers themselves. But the Braves and Dodgers tonight at 10 Eastern, that's going to be an interesting start of a series, because those are two teams that everyone is expecting to, make the playoffs, win their divisions, et cetera, et cetera. Grant Holmes for the Braves, and then we got Tanner Glasnow starting out for the Dodgers tonight. I'm looking forward to that one. It's going to be, I think that series is going to be a nice early season playoff preview, if you want to say that. Not unlike how the Reds and the Rangers are going to be a World Series preview, but,
I agree with you. I am looking forward to that Dodgers Braves matchup. And for what it's worth, last year the Braves only went 2-5 against the Dodgers in the regular season. Of course, they did not meet the playoffs, but the Braves, as you said, are 0-4 to start the year. And last time the Braves started the season 0-4, they won the World Series. So if that's a little hope for the Atlanta Braves fans out there, But it's not the best slate of games. There's not too many good pitching matchups. Of course, I'll be watching the Phillies game whenever it comes on. But for me, and I know I told you to stay away from this game, but for me, I'm looking forward to the Rangers and Reds game at 6:40 Eastern. Kumar Rocker and Brady Singer. Kumar Rocker making his season debut for the Rangers and Brady Singer making his team debut for the Reds. And it's two young guys who at one time or another were both top prospects and they're looking to prove themselves for Rocker in his season opener, where he struggled in the major leagues to this point, and then for Singer to prove himself on his new team as he was part of that Jonathan India trade, which, by the way, didn't even mention. I've talked about it in the newsletter, but how mad were you when Jonathan India got beaned in the head yesterday?
That was awful. I hate guys getting plunked in the head, and it was, what, a 6-2 ball game. Emmanuel Clase is just trying to throw it as hard as he can, and it just tails up and nails him in the side of the head. I think the pitches before that were up and in and everything like that, and you could tell by India's reaction that he didn't appreciate it. We'll say that. No, I hate it. I love Jonathan India. The man, he's a leader. I wish that everything else, came together for him. Just defensively, other than last year where he had a much better season. He wasn't great defensively. He was much better as a bat. I hate guys getting hit in the head. Plunk, I don't like the whole throwing at batters just in general, but if you're going to throw at somebody, throw them in the torso. Throwing at the head is just nasty. Emmanuel Clase is legitimately one of the elite pitchers in baseball. You ain't got to do that, man.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. And you know, you and I have talked about Jonathan India a lot before, and when he was on the Reds, he was always my favorite Red, and I actually recorded one of our conversations about that.
Why do you like him?
Because he gets on base.
Yeah, but you push back when I say how much I like Luis Arraez.
Well, now Luis Arraez doesn't get on base via the walk. All he does is hit singles.
It's on base. No, I get it. I understand.
but that Class A, it wasn't great. I don't think he did it on purpose. I understand India being mad 100%. You just got hit in the head by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. I 100% understand India being mad, as well as the rest of the Kansas City Royals. Vinny Pasquantino came out after the game, and he said he didn't think it was intentional, but at the same time, he still said, you know, it shouldn't be happening. You know, Class A should not be throwing up and in, trying to throw as hard as he can. When they have a 4-run lead, there was nobody on base, and there were 2 outs. So it's while it wasn't intentional, it still should not have happened, and I hope that India is okay, because I do really like Jonathan India as a player. And you don't want to see guys get hurt, especially on 99-mile-an-hour fastballs to the head. The Royals.
The weird thing too is last year, he hit Blake Dunn in the head as well, one of the Reds outfielders, which was really odd. It was a really weird stretch of games, because Blake Dunn got hit in the head twice in like a 2 or 3 day span. It wasn't great. It
was weird. Yeah. Maybe he just has something against the Reds. Maybe you know, being from Cleveland, Ohio, and you know Cincinnati is in Ohio. Maybe it's just the in-state rivalry. And Jonathan India used to be a Red. I don't know. But
one thing I've noticed that there is a one-way rivalry when it comes to the Guardians and Reds. Like I don't mind the Guardians. I have yet to meet a Reds fan that doesn't like the Guardians, but the Guardians do not like the Reds for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting. But the Royals did say that they don't believe it's concussive, but they are going to do more imaging over the next couple of days. So we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully Jonathan India is okay. But baseball's back, baby. We've had a full week in a baseball, and we are now into our first full week of baseball again. We have day games on a Monday. I love it. I love day games. So don't get used to the day games on a Monday, but cherish them while they're here. And also cherish the First Pitch podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, give us a subscribe. We are again trying to reach 500 subscriptions before we get to 200 episodes. And today's episode is 167. We've got big plans for a bunch of content in the future. So, just keep sticking with us and give us that subscription and like. And if you're listening on audio, leave a like, leave a 5-star rating. Send your friends to firstpitchpodcast.com and check out the newsletter. I will leave the link for that in the description. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.